Statistics show that young adults in the U.S. are sadly lacking in basic money skills. What happens when their turn comes to run things? It's a sobering question. Hi, I'm Rob West. Evidently, parents and schools aren't doing their job when it comes to raising kids with financial savvy. Today, we'll do some remedial work on essential money management skills. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Year after year, the annual survey taken for the TIAA Institute shows low financial literacy for the 18 to 25 age group. A majority of these young adults consistently fail to demonstrate a working familiarity with financial concepts like budgeting, saving, insurance, and investing. Think about what this means. Tens of thousands of young adults are going off to college or joining the workforce today without knowing how to manage their money or how to avoid overspending or even how to build a solid financial future for themselves. When I was a kid, learning to balance a checkbook and pay bills on time were part of financial training for kids and teenagers. But today, things look a lot different. Now we have online banking and instant digital transactions. It's so easy to use credit and transfer money that many young people just live day to day without a plan, until they need a bailout from mom or dad. The fact that young adults rarely handle cash also means they no longer have a physical connection to their money. When you don't actually see and feel your money coming and going, you might not realize when it's gone. This disconnect can lead to unintentional overspending and a lifetime of debt, not to mention a lack of motivation to save for the future. So if you're a parent of teenagers or a Gen Z just starting out, here are a few must-have financial skills and how to get them. The first skill is actually an attitude. The Bible says God is the owner of everything, as in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Understand that nothing really belongs to you, even you. You are a manager of God's resources, which should change your perspective on money and material things. The number two financial skill you'll need is planning. A dream without a plan is just a wish, as they say, and wishes won't buy you a house. The fundamental planning tool we recommend is a budget, otherwise known as a spending plan. A budget keeps track of your income, giving, and spending, and gives you a picture of your progress towards meeting your financial goals. Download the free FaithFi app to get one started. The next fundamental financial skill everyone needs is work. Maybe your dad always told you that money doesn't grow on trees. Annoying as that was, it's the truth. Employment is where your money comes from, not the oak tree in the yard. So start at the bottom if you have to, work hard and develop your resume. Earning can really build your financial confidence. If you do have a job, make sure you keep it in perspective. Remember, your identity comes from Jesus, not from what you do for a living. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, we see the key to successful work. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. The next skill is to open and manage a bank account. Then make sure you develop habits of giving and saving from every paycheck. Watching your balance increase will encourage you to stick to your plan. Keeping track of your bank balance will also help you understand your limits. You can't spend what isn't there. The next skill will also help you understand your limits. Learn about credit. Don't fall into the trap of believing that a credit card equals permission to spend all you want. Instead, keep track of your balances, pay your balances in full every month, and watch your credit score. Another basic financial skill you'll need is to understand about investing, including types of investments, risk, and return. Check out the great information at soundmindinvesting.org. Finally, admit you don't know it all and learn where to go for solid financial advice. As it says in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Visit faithfi.com and click on the community tab to chat online about your money questions or ask someone you trust who knows about finances to help you. Now more than ever, young adults need financial skills to succeed in the real world, and we hope today's information has been helpful. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. At the end of the day, every human being on this planet just wants somewhere to belong. Somewhere they can hear the words, "You are loved and you are welcomed here." It's hard to live life when you feel rejected or scorned by someone you meet, but in Christ, we have that place of belonging. Deuteronomy 7 tells us, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is a faithful God, keeping covenant and mercy with his people, even to the thousandth generation." Welcome, love, mercy, that's what the covenant means to us. In Jesus Christ, we've been welcomed in. Nothing can separate us, not even our own foolishness, not even our own sin. We can rest in this wonderful love. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it, and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and I'm ready to go. It's time for your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We started today by talking about financial literacy, or the lack thereof, for young adults. So critical that we're teaching these critical skills about the value of hard work, the need to save and live with a spending plan or a budget, the reasons we avoid debt, the dangers of compound interest, the power of compounding growth and investing, and above all of that, a biblical worldview of money management, teaching our kids that God owns it all and we're stewards or managers, and really that giving breaks the grip of money over our lives, that money has a way of competing with God for first position in our lives, but we can loosen that grip by giving it away and holding it loosely. All of these things are so critical for young adults to understand so that as they launch into adulthood, they're prepared to be financially responsible, live on their own, not be dependent upon mom and dad, and really thrive as stewards of God's money. I hope today was helpful to you. There's a lot to talk about in that area. If you'd like to talk about that or any other financial topic, we'd love to tackle it with you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Huntsville, Alabama. Hi, Larry. Go ahead, sir.
In 2019, I bought a Gerber life insurance policy on my great-granddaughter. It is $50,000. And I pay $34 and something a month. Was that a good investment? If it wasn't, what should I do? Or should I cancel it? Should I cash it in? Or should I continue doing it?
Yeah, Larry. Well, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that you're thinking about setting something aside on a systematic basis for your granddaughter. She will be delighted down the road when it's the appropriate time for her to receive that for whatever purpose she might use it for, or you and she may decide to use it for. I'm not a big fan of these Gerber policies. They're sold very frequently just because Gerber offers a lot of flexibility in these types of policies, and they market them very well. Two big reasons, one specifically related to Gerber. If you do some research, you'll find that they have more complaints than you would expect for an organization their size, specifically around these products, customer complaints around satisfaction to the state regulators. If you look at the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, they just don't get good reviews. But secondly, just kind of the whole idea of life insurance for kids, I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, it's a lifelong commitment. So, a child life insurance typically takes the form of a small whole life policy, which covers the child for life. And, you know, the upside there is there's guaranteed insurability and you lock in, these lower rates. However, there's a catch. So to continue the coverage, you got to continue to pay the monthly premiums. And while the child life insurance is relatively inexpensive, it's still a lifelong financial commitment. I think there's also better investment solutions elsewhere. So if really you're looking at it not primarily for the death benefit, but really as a savings vehicle, you know, if it's for college, I'd use a 529 savings plan. If it's not, I'd use, you could use a Roth IRA as soon as she has earned income. And without that, you could just use a straight taxable account and just do a systematic investment to an index, exchange traded fund or a high quality mutual fund, even a faith-based investing mutual fund. And you're just going to get a lot more upside over time with a lot more flexibility by not mixing it with insurance, but just having a straight investment. So I think for those reasons, I'd probably, if it were me, just take the cash value, roll that over into just some sort of either a brokerage account in your name, but earmarked for her, or if you want to, put it away for college, a 529 plan, and then just systematically invest into that a certain amount each month, pick a high quality fund to put it into, and just let it grow. And the great thing is because of her age, you could be fairly aggressive with it. And, because she's got plenty of time for this money to grow. So there's an opportunity for you to, have certainly an all stock portfolio, but even within the equity, basket, you could use something that's even a little bit more aggressive. Does that make sense, Larry?
Yeah, I need you to tell me who I need to contact. Also, I'm 81 years old. So,
Yeah.
I am.
Well, what you would do. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I'd have to provide money in my will or something to continue to do that for her, automatically after I'm not here, right?
Yeah, it would need to be carried on, which is why I'd rather see you take the cash value out, drop the policy, because there's really not a need for life insurance on her life. and just roll that into something that you could continue to add to for the rest of your life, but that has a better growth component because it's invested broadly in a diversified way, but you can capture the broad moves of the market without relying on the insurance company, which is not going to give you the best rate of return, historically speaking.
Can you give me somebody to contact?
Yeah, I would go to, are you comfortable on the internet?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd go to soundmindinvesting.org, soundmindinvesting.org. They would be delighted to help you walk you through getting set up at a one of the discount brokerages, Fidelity or Schwab, and then, you know, picking a couple of high quality mutual funds so that when you cash out this policy, if that's what you decide to do, you could take the cash value, drop it into this new account, and then let's say you want to add to it the $34 a month or whatever amount you determine, they could help you with selecting some high-quality mutual funds to put that into, okay?
They would be able to help me as far as assisting the transfer and all of that.
Well, they're going to tell you what to do. You would have to do it yourself, but they can basically point you in the right direction and give you some assistance along the way. So soundmindinvesting.org is the place to go. If that doesn't work for you, give us a call back, and I'd be happy to help you further. Larry, God bless you, my friend. We're grateful. You sound like a wonderful grandfather. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Steve's in Tennessee. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, question for you. Your take on these AI ETFs. I don't know if you've been reading anything about this Project Omega, what's going on. These guys are dumping, these billionaires are dumping millions and millions of dollars into these IA funds.
Yeah.
What's your take on all that?
Yeah. Well, artificial intelligence is kind of the hot button these days. Is there already a bubble? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, clearly, you know, we're just getting started, and there's implications in government, in healthcare, in technology, in education. I mean, AI is here to stay, and obviously the major tech players are all talking about AI. If you listen to their most recent presentations, you'll hear the letters A and I hundreds and hundreds of times. So I think probably the best bet is there is a broad approach to it. One of the ETFs, like a basket of AI investments, as opposed to trying to pick the winners and losers. I would just say don't get overweighted there, but an allocation to AI through an ETF like, you know, IYW or one of those, I think makes a lot of sense, as long as it's in a properly diversified portfolio that's appropriate for your risk tolerance. Thanks for your call, Steve. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open today, ready for your calls, 800-525-7000. Whatever you'd like to chat about today, financially speaking, we'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about must-have financial skills for young adults. The TIAA Institute, their personal finance index, is showing low financial literacy for the 18 to 25 age group, and it seems like it continues to fall. A majority of these young adults consistently failing to demonstrate a working knowledge of financial concepts like budgeting, saving, insurance, and investing. So we need to, of course, be intentional about how we educate our young adults in money management, also imparting a biblical worldview of money management so that they're prepared as they launch out into adulthood. Now, that, though, can lead us to a situation where we may be subsidizing our adult children, and in many cases, in a way that's not helpful for them as adults. So we need to be on our guard there so that we're really careful. How do we do that? Well, first of all, the downside, the pitfalls we can run into. We can run into financial favoritism. That is, perhaps trying to bring a struggling child up to par with one who's managing money well. Unfortunately, helping one child and not the other causes resentment among the siblings. Be careful there. Your son or daughter may need help developing their own financial skills. Well, an open wallet policy on the part of parents can stunt their financial growth. So be careful. Financial bailouts can lead to dependency, and that can delay financial maturity. You could be perhaps unknowingly supporting unwise lifestyle choices or even encouraging bad financial habits through your hard-earned money bailouts. From a spiritual perspective, you might be throwing money at a struggling child and shielding them from hardship, which may be God's way of getting his or her attention. So we've got to be careful there. Also, what about your own financial well-being? Can you afford to give your kids money? You know, a person in their 30s and 40s has a lot of options for generating income, but you may be headed into retirement and maybe you don't even have that flexibility. So diverting your resources to your adult children could jeopardize your own financial future. So here's the reality. First of all, let me just say, I know this is hard. And you're helping out of a desire to be a help to your kids, to show love to them, to pull them out of a struggling situation. I get it. Your heart's in the right place. Your intentions are good. And yet you could be inadvertently kind of thwarting what God is doing either spiritually or financially in their lives. And I know you certainly don't want to do that. So how do you then navigate that? How do we balance our desire to love and help with the potential that we could be holding them back from valuable lessons? Well, let me offer some suggestions. And by the way, we will be headed back to the phones here in just a moment. So if you have a financial question today on any financial topic, we'd love to help you think about that practically, but through the lens of Scripture. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Adam standing by taking your calls today, and we'll get you on the air quickly again, 800 800- 1-800-525-7000. Give us a call right now with lines open. So how do we balance this idea that we want to help our kids, we want to be there for them and love them as they're just getting started, especially in those early years, but not getting in the way of what God wants to teach them? Well, first, we've got to pray. We've got to ask the Lord for wisdom. James 1:5 is pretty clear. If we lack wisdom, we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So let's start there in asking the Lord to intervene. Secondly, we need to understand that we need financial accountability and transparent communication. You know, we need to have a frank conversation before making any financial commitment so that we can clarify financial expectations. You know, the goal is your child living within his or her means on a budget, and that needs to be happening before you extend any assistance. I think any financial gift you might extend really needs to be accompanied by a timeline so that they know the help is temporary. This is really key. And I would say, and you may say this sounds too formal or unnecessary, but put it in writing. Remember, good stewardship requires accountability. It's helpful for everyone, both you and your child, to have this plan in writing so that there's not unmet expectations. We avoid miscommunication. And here's the key. We avoid damaged relationships because of a misunderstanding. Put it in writing. And then let's think about practical ways to help, but doing it in a way that reinforces the right behaviors. So think about this. You want to help. What way can you do that really incents your child, your adult child, to make good decisions? Well, let's say they're trying to get out of credit card debt. Well, it may be that you say, okay, first, you know, we want you to be living on a budget for 3 months. Second, we're going to match every dollar you send to the credit cards above the minimum payment. So now they're creating margin. They're going after the principal reduction with an extra $100 a month. You put $100 with it. Let's say they're living at home. We sit down. We have a frank conversation. We say, listen, you've got 9 months here. Let's make the most of it. And you're going to pay rent while you're here. Well, maybe without telling them, you're taking that rent payment and putting it in a savings account so that when they're ready to launch, you have the ability to bless them with a gift for first, last, and security, or a down payment or on a car or a house. You know, that again is going to reinforce the right behaviors and yet still allow you to step in as you want to and desire to be a help to your kids. Listen, watching your adult children struggle is hard. I understand that. But what we don't want to do is get in the way of what God is trying to teach them, and in some way, perhaps thwart a spiritual lesson, thwart a financial lesson that they need to understand that's going to be incredibly valuable for them in the future, decades down the road. And so let's think really with discipline and diligence about how we're going to help. Let me say one other thing on this matter. You and your spouse need to be on the same page. We can't have, you know, one person on the side saying to Johnny, hey, if you need money, let me know and I'll slip it to you. No, that doesn't work. We've got to be a unified front. So you guys need to do the hard work together, pray it through, make some decisions. And when you sit down to have that hard conversation in love, you are a unified front. Hey, I hope that's a help to you. We're going to take your calls just around the corner, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Alistair Begg continues our study in the book of Ephesians this week. We'll see the role of the church in God's plan and find out how to determine if you're called to preach. Then find out how to make sense of life and the world around you. Listen to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, by the way, perhaps you're not in a place where you can call in right now, but you still have a question. Well, you can send that to us by email. We'd love to receive it. We try to get one to two emails on the broadcast each day. I'll read them, and we'll even try to get you that response in case you didn't hear it. But if you'd like to send it along, pass your email to us at askrob@faithfi.com. That email address again, simply AskRob@faithfi.com. We'd love to hear your questions. Well, if you are in a place where you can call today, we'd love to talk to you. I always prefer to hear your story and talk to you about your financial questions. I've got some lines open today. We'd love to tackle whatever you're considering today financially. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Jeff, thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, sir. I just had a quick question. So I'm 37 years old, and I work in AC and refrigeration, so I get a little bit of extra income coming in during this time of year. And I have anywhere from maybe $300 to $500 extra dollars a month that we're not putting towards our savings that I'd like to invest. And I do have 401k at work. We do have an emergency fund that's up around $6,000 or $7,000 right now. So I'm trying to invest some money, but my question is, I'm wondering if I should just buy some stocks monthly or if I should wait and get a decent chunk of money together after, you know, maybe 4 to 6 months in order to make some purchases. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on how to start investing when you don't have a whole lot of income to throw at it.
Yeah, it's a great question, Jeff. And by the way, being there in Texas in HVAC work, I bet you are running hard right now, given this heat wave that's going on. You know, here's my thought on that. I think first is deciding exactly where to allocate that money in terms of the type of account and for what purpose, which gives us the time horizon. And then secondly, what are the actual investments that you would select? So first, I love that you said you're contributing to a retirement plan at work. That's great. Do you happen to know what percent of your take-home pay is going into retirement?
I'm not positive on that at this time. I think I'm maxed out as far as what I can contribute to that. And then okay. our employer, they double that. And then at the end of the year, they contribute another, whatever they contributed throughout the year, they double that. So it's
well, that's great.
Good,
Yeah, that's tremendous. Well, I love that at 38, you're already maxing that out, and that's great. So it sounds like you're on track there. I love that you mentioned the emergency fund. You've got that in place. That's great. So next, I think you would either look at, if you don't have any consumer debt, and I assume you don't, is that right?
All we have right now is a car loan that's about $3,000 from being paid off, and we have a house note, but that's it.
Okay. And what is the interest rate on that car, do you know?
I am not sure about that.
All right.
We got it about 2 years ago, and we wanted to pay it off, but they put us in a loan, and I've heard that it's best to wait 2 years before you pay it all off. So we're about to do that this year to get that out from under us.
Okay, yeah. I would say prioritizing that makes a lot of sense, just because then that gives you the equivalent of that monthly payment to either put into savings for the next car purchase with cash or use to fund an investment plan year-round. But in terms of waiting to build it up versus doing it systematically, there's real power in what's called dollar cost averaging. We talked about this just the other day on the program. You know, dollar cost averaging is where you do a systematic investment. Think about your 401k or your retirement plan. Every month out of every paycheck, you're investing. Well, the beautiful part of that is you're buying at different points in the market. So when the market's down, you're buying more shares for the same investment. When the market's up, you're buying less. But over time, it allows you to really develop a powerful investing strategy. So I would set up an automatic transfer to this account every month. Now, what type of account? Well, you can either, let's say, start a 529 plan. So maybe every year at this time, because you believe you're on track for retirement, every year at this time when you have a surplus, you could use that as a window of time to fund the 529 plan so you get ahead on college savings. Or you could just set up a joint account, a brokerage account for you and your wife. If it is long-term money, I'd probably open a Roth IRA if you don't have one. You guys could each put in $6,500, a total of $13,000, at least for this year. And that would allow you to put in after-tax money, but it would grow tax-free, and then I'd make that monthly systematic contribution and then just buy some high-quality mutual funds or ETFs. If you wanted a faith-based investing approach, you could, you know, use one of the funds from Eventide or Timothy Plan or One Ascent or Crossmark or one of those fund families that you'd find on our website at faithfi.com. Or you could just use a broad market index where you're capturing the big moves of the market. And you could open that account at Fidelity or Schwab. And again, as long as you're okay earmarking it for the long term, I'd put that in a Roth. That's a really powerful tool. But that other option, if you wanted to earmark it for college, would be to open a 529 plan, which sounds like it'd be the best fit for you.
Okay, yeah, the IRA, I like that. But there are a few things that, you know, when we go on vacation, a big vacation every couple of years, or we have to, you know, make a certain purchase, I'd like to have some of it invested to where, you know, 5 years from now, I need to make a purchase and I save a lot of money on it because I've invested some short-term money on it. What are your thoughts on mixing the two with not having,
Sure. Well, keep in mind, your original contribution to a Roth, you can always take out at any time without any penalty because you've already paid tax on it. So you could fund that Roth every year. And if you wanted to, you could pull it out as long as you don't go above what your contributions were. Don't pull out the gains because that would cause a penalty and taxes. But as long as you just go up to what you put in, you can take that back out at any time.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yeah. So that would allow you to get some money working for you, and the gain portion could continue to grow until retirement tax-free, and then you could pull out the original contributions. So that would be one option. Another option would just be to do a straight taxable account, get that invested, and then, you know, you've got complete discretion over the whole thing. I would just be careful to make sure that, you know, you've got the time horizon matched up with the investment strategy. So if you wanted to get it for a vacation next year, you wouldn't want to put it all in the market because you may have to sell it for a loss. But if this is money you're looking at 5 years down the road, well, that's a different story.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
So you're basically...
I'm sorry, I lost you there. Try again.
Yeah, but if I'm doing, you know, 5 years or more, then I can afford to put it in there and watch it go up and down.
That's right. Yeah, and you just want to take a long-term perspective on it, and then as you get closer to that time where you're drawing it out, you're going to want to get more conservative on it. Jeff, all the best to you, my friend. Sounds like you guys are making some great decisions, and glad we could get you on the program today. Call back anytime. 800-525-7000. Let's see, Ann, we're going to be coming your way. Tracy, coming to you as well, but I've got to take a quick break first. Let me mention, folks, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. Also, all of our broadcast archives are there, and we bring together the best content in biblical finance anywhere in our Learn tab. And then you could also use the money management, the spending plan portion if you want. It's based on Larry Burkett's digital envelope system. It's all in the FaithFi app. Go to faithfi.com and click app. You can download it today. We'll be right back with your questions. Stay with us.
Harvard University was founded to train Christian ministers. Their second rule was to instruct students that the main end of life and study was to know Jesus Christ. I asked Siri about Harvard today, and she said 80% of the faculty and 76% of the students are liberal, implying they don't embrace the authority of Jesus or the Bible. Maybe Harvard is a case study of why America is in trouble. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I've got two lines open. Adam Sunnett standing by to take your calls today. We'd love to get you on the air. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Mississippi. Ann, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm wondering, how can you go about helping a grandchild that probably won't go to college, but they need to find a job that will have a substantial income? You're going to be tempted to try to help them, and then that can backfire, like you've been saying.
Yes.
Have you got any suggestions on how to go about helping them find a vocation?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is have them take a career assessment. So one of the tools that we love is called Career Direct. You'll find it on the web at careerdirect.org. It's like you would expect with a traditional career assessment that looks at their skills and abilities, also their passions and interests, but it also brings in the biblical side, how God has wired them, their God-given strengths and abilities. So it's a comprehensive but also biblically based assessment that allows them to understand their unique gifts and then find the career or educational path that matches that. Larry Burkett was highly involved in this in the early days, and it continues today. And so I would suggest that they check that out. Maybe that's a gift you could give the children when they're the right age to do that. And, you know, when you marry that with some of the dramatic changes that are taking place over the next, 10 to 15 years, what we're finding is that more and more students are graduating high school and not going to college. We're down to, I think, I'm on the board of my kids' Christian school, and in our board meeting this week, I was seeing some data just about the future of education, and we were looking at numbers around that only about 47% of graduates are now going to college, and that number is falling. Because there's so many careers now that don't require a college degree. And we're going to see pretty dramatic changes, especially just with what's happening technologically and so forth. So I would start with that career assessment and then use that to kind of match up with what are the future job skills that our kids are going to be needing, because I think, you're right. College may be a great option for them, and it is for many. I've got a college freshman who's starting in the fall in just a few weeks, but it may not be. And that's okay, as long as there's a plan alongside it. Does that make sense?
Yes. And once they go through that and do find out their strengths and abilities, then what would you recommend how they would go about?
Well, it will actually match them up with careers that are specific to their skills and abilities. And then once you have the opportunity with them, and there's even counselors that could, help them understand the results, you can then look at those suggested career paths and then explore just on your own what is the very best way to prepare to enter that particular field, whether that's a four-year college education or, graduate school or a trade school or, going directly to toward the skills that are needed, which may not necessarily require college. So you will actually get a suggested list of career paths alongside the assessment results.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I've taken some notes because I won't remember all this.
All right.
And I appreciate your help.
You're welcome, man. God bless you. Thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Florida. Hi, Tracy. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Appreciate your call, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to find out two things about my wife. She passed away in January, and she's with Jesus, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I could use her Social Security. I had talked to somebody or heard something about that you can, if you're on disability like I am, and I'm over 65, that I might be able to get her some of her Social Security returned to me.
So you're on disability, you're not claiming your own Social Security. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm on disability. I've been on it for a while.
Okay. You know what I would do? I mean, you may be able to receive survivor's benefits, and you could potentially, but there's just a lot of factors there that go into that. Have you visited with the Social Security Administration directly to talk about options?
Yeah, the only thing I've done, I've filled out all the paperwork and sent it off, and they said it would take a while, and it's been 6 months, so... I just thought I'd reach out and ask an expert and see if, am I wasting my time or what?
Yeah,
I
think it's definitely, worth looking into because, the Social Security, benefit, the spousal benefit is 50% of the amount received by the disabled worker. So you may be able to qualify for an additional benefit there. It's definitely worth looking into. So what I would do is try to schedule a meeting with the Social Security Administration. You can do that virtually or in person. Is your next best option, because what they can do is pull up both of your records and have all of that information to give you the specifics on, what could be coming your way and how's the best way to go about that. But it's going to require you to get that meeting, which I realize is not always easy to do, but I would certainly be persistent in trying to get that meeting scheduled. So sorry to hear about your wife's passing, Tracy, but we appreciate you being on the program today, sir. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got a few minutes left. Perhaps
perhaps time for one more question. Let's head to Spring, Texas. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Hello, Rob. This is Jay in Spring. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I had a question about my son, who I'm having to give some help financially for health problems that he has. He's a single breadwinner. He's married, got a child that's autistic, and his wife is not able to work but part-time maybe to help. And so he does have a problems with his back and things that he hurt. So my question is, should I ask him for some help? I'm 78, and I need some help cutting the grass, keeping my house in order. I live on a little over an acre, and I'm constantly needing help. So yeah. My wife doesn't want me to ask him for help, but I think I should.
Yeah. So you're providing financial assistance to him because of the challenges that he has. And what you're saying is, you know, what about asking him for some manual labor for some things you can't do? Absolutely. Yeah. I think, I mean, whether or not you were providing financial assistance or not, as a 78-year-old retired man with a lot of, upkeep that you have around you, I think, reaching out to your son to say, listen, I could use some assistance in this area. Whether or not you were helping financially, I think is perfectly appropriate. That's part of what we should be doing if we're able to, as children, to honor our parents. But yeah, I think certainly, especially given what you're doing financially to help him, it'd be a great way for him to be able to bless you for blessing him. So I think that's a very appropriate conversation for you to have. Now, longer term, though, Jay, do you think you guys need to look at, perhaps a change in your living situation such that you could, lessen the burden of the upkeep as you all continue to age?
Like hiring others?
Yes, or moving, and trying to find something that just perhaps doesn't require as much upkeep. Maybe you go into a townhouse down the road or something that, where you can turn the key and lock the door and leave, or, somebody else is going to be responsible to maintain the grounds and the exterior. But also, I think, a middle ground there would be, hiring some folks. Again, I think start with your son, and that's great. I'm just saying longer term, let's say he were to move or, he's not in a position, just given the demands on his time, to do everything you need. I want you to have a longer term plan that's sustainable.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
That.
But I think bottom line is I'm totally in favor of you approaching your son and saying, listen, I could use your assistance and I need you to step up. And I think hopefully that conversation will be met with a favorable response. Hey, God bless you, Jay. You sound like a wonderful dad. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, folks, before we wrap up today, some interesting data, actually some discouraging data, although we knew this was coming. It's related to car loans here in this environment that we're in. The Federal Reserve has said, and this is new information, the rejection rate for auto loans in June rose to 14.2%. That's up from 9% in February, the last time the survey was taken. That's the highest level since this data was first collected back in 2013. And the first time it's exceeded the application rate. As a result, lenders are pulling back, leery of borrowers who've struggled with high inflation and a surge in interest rates the last couple of years, and they've piled on debt to make ends meet. As these consumer credit balances grow, there's, of course, a higher chance of default, especially in the market for auto financing, given how high priced these automobiles have been, especially through the pandemic with supply chain constraints and the chip shortages. Listen to this. The number of Americans paying at least $1,000 a month on new loans reached a record high, over 17%. In the 3 months ending in June, according to Edmunds. So just be on your guard here. I realize it's challenging out there with inflation and all the other challenges we have, but let's not get overextended with houses and cars. Those are two of the biggest budget busters. Hey, I couldn't do this on behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland and Devin Patrick and Adam Suddeth. I want to say thanks for being along with you today. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.